You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In recent years, the number of American families choosing to homeschool their kids has been on the rise. Parents point to a variety of reasons for homeschooling, from dissatisfaction with the school environment to fear of school shootings. Michigan is one of 11 states which does not require any contact with state or local education officials for families who homeschool. For many homeschool advocates, this means parents have the most freedom to develop a learning environment to work for their kids. But some groups are raising alarm bells about the potential for abuse in the system. Last summer, a Lansing couple was charged with child abuse and unlawful imprisonment. Police say the couple's five children had endured years of horrific abuse before being removed from the home in 2017. Their mother had pulled them from public schools despite multiple reports and investigations by Child Protective Services, and there was no law to stop that. This week, we're going to look at Michigan's homeschool laws. Today, we hear from Rachel Coleman. She's executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. It's one of the groups pushing for stricter homeschool oversight in Michigan. And she joins us via Skype. Rachel, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you.
So how do you think that Michigan's homeschooling regulations played any role in what happened to these children? I mean, I guess I'm asking what might have been different had they lived in another state with tougher regulations?
So there are some states that require parents to have their children assessed each year, either by a standardized test or a portfolio review. That would have at least ensured that the parents would have to put some effort into educating their children and couldn't just take them out and hide them away. But unfortunately, currently, no state has any system at all for flagging cases where there was past contact with Child Protective Services that ought to have made pulling the child from school a bit of a red flag. There have actually been several attempts to create such flagging systems in recent years, and there seems to be a growing movement towards doing that. But no state so far has actually created a system of that sort.
So let's talk more about Michigan's homeschooling regulations. If I decide that I'm going to homeschool my child, what do I need to do and who do I need to tell?
Nothing and nobody.
Boy.
Technically, you are supposed to be providing what the law says is an organized educational program in the subject areas of reading, spelling, mathematics, science, history, civics, literature, writing, and English grammar. However, you don't have to tell the school district that you're homeschooling, and nobody checks to make sure that this education is taking place. If you did have your children in school before, you know, obviously you need to withdraw your children, and usually at that point you would tell the school district you are going to be homeschooling them, but there is no form, there is no list, and nobody checks in.
And if a youngster never even enters the public school system, then they just
correct.
Nothing.
They just don't send them to school. They don't need to notify anyone at all.
So here we are talking, I think, about two separate issues. So first is the issue of safety, and second is the issue of whether homeschool kids are being properly educated. So let's start by going more deeply into the safety issue, such as these cases from Lansing and Detroit. How do the current regulations create a safety risk in your view?
Children who attend public school are seen by numerous different individuals every day, most of whom are mandatory reporters. And this also means they have access to individuals that they can reach out to if they need help, if they're having problems at home. But when children are homeschooled, who they see each day is completely up to their parents. So a responsible homeschooling parent who's really got their children's best interest in mind, those kids are being seen by coaches, you know, they're being seen by tutors or, piano lesson teachers, the librarians, people at church. But there's no requirement that a homeschooling parent have their children out in the community like that. So the reality is that if a homeschooling parent decided to do so, they can just lock their kids away, like in these cases we're talking about. And then those kids not only are not seen by anyone who may notice a problem, they also don't have any safe adults in their lives that they can go to when they need help.
And in that case in Lansing, those five children were taken out of public school after Child Protective Services reports that had been filed by staff at the school. One has to wonder, is that not something that would raise a red flag to somebody?
It should, but it doesn't, because there is no current law to create a flagging system. So legally, any parent can homeschool, including parents who've been convicted of child abuse in the past, including parents who are being investigated for child abuse. So there's no way to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe these kids shouldn't be homeschooled. Now, usually when this happens, there isn't an open case. It frequently happens after a Child Protective Services case is closed, because the parent then says, I don't want to have to worry about this happening again. And so then they pull the children. So these frequently, generally, they're not kids who are under on anyone's radar currently, but they are kids where you can look at this trajectory and say, there should be cause for concern here. But again, there's no system for saying when a child begins to be homeschooled, these sorts of wrecks should be checked. Because, like I said, they're not even required to notify anyone when they begin homeschooling.
So if I was to wonder, and I am, what kind of data is being collected on kids whose families choose to homeschool them, what's the answer to that?
So there was a recent study in Connecticut, and they found that of children removed from school to be homeschooled, 36% had child abuse or neglect reports against their family in the past. And the vast majority of those were substantiated reports or cases where there were multiple reports. So that's a full third of children in these circumstances.
If you've just joined us, we're exploring Michigan's homeschooling regulations. Michigan is one of 11 states that does not require homeschool kids to have any contact with local or state education officials. And I'm speaking with Rachel Coleman, who's executive director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. Let's shift over to this issue of whether or not homeschool kids in Michigan are getting an education. So does the state track what kids who are homeschooled are learning?
No, not in any fashion. In fact, just this morning, we received another query from a homeschool grad in Michigan saying, I don't have a diploma. You know, the individual who homeschooled me has since died. What do I do? And the answer is, there are no state records. There are no records kept at all on kids' educations. It's completely in the hands of the parents. So if a parent doesn't, due to neglect, or if they're disorganized, or if they later pass away and haven't been careful enough with where the records are even stored, those kids can have no record that they received any education at all, which impacts the ability to get a job, to go to college, and beyond.
So let's talk about changes that could happen when it comes to how the state oversees homeschooling. And in 2015, after those two Detroit children were murdered by their mother, State Representative Stephanie Chang proposed a bill that would call for increasing oversight of homeschooling. But it didn't even get out of the House committee. And the then chair of the Senate Education Committee, who was at that time Republican Phil Pavlov, he wrote a letter saying those murders were being used, in his words, to impose new regulations on loving, committed, and law-abiding Michigan families. So what are your thoughts about that argument?
Well, for one thing, that bill, had it passed, would not have created any hindrance for those loving, committed Michigan families. All that bill would have required is that parents have their children seen by a mandatory reporter twice a year and have a form filled out by that individual. And that mandatory reporter could be a doctor, a dentist, a teacher that the person, you know, maybe a friend, or even the pastor at their church. So one way we like to put it, we support oversight that requires the sorts of things that responsible homeschooling parents are already doing. I actually grew up in a state that did not require anything either. It was Indiana. And my parents still created a portfolio for each of us each year. They still had us tested certain years because they wanted to make sure they were getting it right. Having to turn that into somebody or have it looked at by somebody would not have imposed a burden. So we're not talking about making life harder for the responsible homeschooling parents. We're talking about catching the cases where parents are abusing the homeschool law and using it to harm children.
Now, there are children who are abused, certainly, who attend public schools or charter schools. And there are people within the homeschool community who would say, well, why should we get extra scrutiny? I mean, why are we not addressing the root of the issue, which appears to be, especially in the Lansing case, with Child Protective Services?
Absolutely, Child Protective Services can be and should be improved. But if a child is not being seen by anybody, they can't even get reported to anybody. And we're not talking about more scrutiny than the children who go to public school. Children who go to public school are seen by multiple mandatory reporters every single day. Requiring some mandatory reporter contact for other children That's not about singling homeschooled students out. It's about saying we have a gap in our current child protective system. We have the system that says teachers need to be mandatory reporters who can recognize abuse and report it, but we don't do anything for homeschooled children. They get to fall through that gap, and it's about filling in that gap and protecting those kids.
There is another argument put forth, and that's the fact that these instances of abuse, like the one we've talked about in the Lansing case and this Detroit case, are a tiny percentage of the families who are homeschooling. So groups like the Homeschool Legal Defense Association maintain that making regulations based on that tiny number of cases isn't the way to do this. It's to punish people when they break the law. How do you respond to that argument?
We don't actually know that it is a tiny percentage of cases. When I first started this work, I actually probably would have said that. But we've seen increasing numbers of studies, such as the one in Connecticut, that suggest that it may be more like a third of homeschooled kids where there is abuse and neglect going on and homeschooling is taking place to hide it. And so what one thing we would like to see is more data, more studies like this one in Connecticut to look at and say, is it a small percentage or is this a much bigger problem than we may think? Most people who homeschool who are doing so responsibly, they're not going to know the cases where there's horrific abuse going on because those people who are using homeschooling to hide their abuse are not turning around and enrolling their kids in homeschool co-ops. So someone who homeschools isn't necessarily seeing the problem at all or the extent of the problem. We need more data to look at and say, is it a big problem or a small problem? Because at this point, we're not sure.
Rachel, what changes would you like to see when it comes to how Michigan oversees homeschooling?
There was a very interesting bill recommended by Pennsylvania's Child Task Force, Child Fatality Task Force, some years back. The bill would have said, when a family begins homeschooling, the name of the adults in the household and the children in the household needs to be submitted to the agency responsible for child welfare, so Child Protective Services. And then all that agency does is check. Has there been a substantiated case of child abuse involving these individuals in the past 18 months? And if the answer was yes, then that agency would oversee the parents for the first 6 months that they would homeschool. And then they could recommend to continue that oversight up to 2 years, just to make sure that there's nothing else going on here. This recommendation, this wouldn't have impacted families that hadn't had a founded case of child abuse in the past 18 months. But it would have caught some of these cases, like these ones we're talking about today, and it would have subjected those families to a little bit of extra scrutiny. It would have said, you know what, we need to make sure that homeschooling is actually taking place for these children's educational well-being and not as a way to hide child abuse. So we would like to see more proposals like that studied and tried in different places, including states like Michigan.
Why do you think it is so hard, Rachel, to get regulations passed around homeschooling?
When homeschooling parents think about regulations and requirements, they usually just think about their own family and their own kids. And I've had homeschooling parents say to me, why should I have to let somebody else, you know, see my kids? I know they're fine. And so what we try to encourage homeschooling parents to do is to look beyond their own family and realize we're talking about all the other kids too. And they may know their children are fine, but they can't say that about every other homeschooled child out there. So I think because homeschooling is a very individualistic thing, many parents end up having that individualistic view without realizing that we're really talking about child welfare on a much broader scale, 2 million children across the country, and not just one family's specific children.
Rachel Coleman, Executive Director of the Coalition for Responsible Home Education. Rachel, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow we hear from the other side of this debate. Mike Donnelly is an attorney with the Home School Legal Defense Association.
What you see is a trend across the country of actually removing restrictions from homeschooling families as opposed to increasing them. And so Michigan tends to be where most states are actually moving to.
But first, let's get some perspective from the people in the middle of this debate, homeschooling families. We reached out to a parent and advocate here in Michigan to hear about their homeschool experiences and why they think creating new state regulations would do more harm than good. First, we hear from a homeschool parent in Superior Township, and then we hear from Israel Wayne, head of communications for the state's largest homeschool association.
My name is Lindsay Hufford, and I live in Superior Township, Michigan. We began homeschooling 6 years ago when our oldest child was going into kindergarten. The year before, we just decided that we weren't ready for him to have a full day of academic learning. One of the biggest benefits we see of homeschooling is family time together. We are able to have a lot more downtime in our day from homeschooling, and they're also able to do more interest-led learning and research the topics that they really want to learn about. I'm personally not in favor of more state oversight of homeschooling. I think that, unfortunately, you are always going to have situations where parents or caregivers of children end up abusing or neglecting those children. I think that the situations in which those are homeschooling families are incredibly rare. Most of the families I know, in fact, I would say all of the families I know who homeschool their children do it because they care deeply for their children. They care for their kids' welfare. Many of my friends are homeschooling kids who would be called twice exceptional or having differing abilities. So they're kind of going above and beyond to make sure their kids' needs are met.
My name is Israel Wayne, and I am the communications coordinator for a group called Michigan Christian Homeschool Network. It's an acronym that's pronounced MISSION. It's the longest running and largest association in the state of Michigan representing home education. I think some people have a concern that if there's not a lot of regulation on homeschooling, that the students may not be learning, that they may not be progressing academically. But the research actually indicates that's not the case. We have standardized achievement tests from states all across the United States. And the research has indicated that states that are highly regulated actually have no better academic performance than states like Michigan, where there's lower. I saw an article recently in the Detroit Free Press that was advocating that homeschoolers need to be regulated because if they are in the public school system and they are known to be abusers and then they decide to homeschool, that somehow these children will disappear. The fact is that simply because a family begins homeschooling, they're not lost to the system. If Child Protective Services was involved in that family, they will continue to be involved in that family. The fact that they're home educating does not remove them from the Child Protective System if they indeed were involved in that. There are thousands of families who have taken their children out of public schools for fear of their safety. Many of them are bullied in the schools. They're afraid for their child's life with school shootings and so forth. So when you have loving parents who want to protect their children and want to keep them safe from known dangers that happen within the school system, those parents should not be viewed with high suspicion as though these parents are out to harm their children. In many cases, that's exactly why they're home educating, because they love their children and they want to provide a safe, protected environment for them to be able to flourish academically.
And again, tomorrow we'll have the other side of the debate over more state oversight of homeschooling.